or Thursday or Monday or yeah, Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to the Couchside Judges. I am Scott Fontana. Follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
And I'm Dan Urban. Follow me at The Dan Urban. Follow the podcast at Couchside Judges and subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple.
And yes, for real, we're back on a Monday, yeah. Dude. This is like legit.
And as always, we talk judging in MMA. Read the scoring criteria, understand it, and then listen.
Goodness, we have not been telling them to understand the criteria. We've just been telling them to read it.
Yeah, they should.
That's a tactical error on our part. total botched, that botched play there. Yeah, like I said, we really are back on Monday. This really happened. Savor it while you can. Next week's going to be on, I don't know, we'll make it up. No, that's not true. We should try to do the next one on Monday too. There's like a like kind of an event happening this coming weekend that's like kind of people might be talking about.
Yeah, big one. Back to back big weekends for TKO.
UFC Apex 100.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's in 10 events or like roughly 12 weeks.
I hope they do it big for that one actually.
Like get 200 fans instead of 100? What is big?
No, like do like pay-per-view type deal for that. Pay-per-view card.
I hope they don't.
For the Apex.
I hope they don't do that for the fighters' sakes.
No. Just do it.
No. F it.
They did Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic in there.
And
do
that,
something else.
That's a mistake we learned not to repeat.
No. For 100, it's special. Just do it.
Disagree.
You have to dig in on this.
Diametrically opposed to you, sir.
If you're going to stick with keep doing these Apex cards, you have to stick. You have to go hard and just tell us all. F you.
I argue the other way around. What if, instead of that, they actually try to put on the absolute worst card they possibly can?
No. No.
Headlined by Jocelyn Edwards against, goodness, I don't know. Someone else who's not very good that Jocelyn Edwards also fought. And then we're going to have 5 rounds of a bunch of debate for us on the show. It'll probably be a...
Honestly?
Have we had a 5 round fight that we've all contested yet? Because that could be the first.
I don't know.
Jocelyn Edwards under 5 rounds.
No.
It could happen.
I would... You know what? I would just boycott. Scott, do the show on your own. Come over, use the equipment. I'm not involved.
What if you just acted as kind of like the producer and I just talked by myself and like I couldn't even bounce things off you. You'd be like listening to music in other headphones or something, but at least you were operating everything for me.
Okay, fine.
Does that work?
Fair.
All right. Well, we probably won't come to that. All right, let's stop wasting on this. This is stupid. But let's talk about the most recent Apex show, which against all odds with a late replacement, didn't really need to happen rematch. At middleweight, no less. We keep getting middleweight main events this year. We got a lot more than really ought to have. Against all odds, Brennan Allen and Chris Curtis have put on possibly the fight of the year. Do you think this is the clubhouse leader?
No.
All right, what is
it? We got Miller Benitez is the clear front runner at the moment.
Yes.
And behind that, I'm sure, I know there's another one. I'm not sure exactly which one it is,
though. Well, Jim Miller only fought one time, sir.
Well, I mean,
if that's what you're trying to reach for.
All right. I understand. No, I'm not looking for another.
Oh, okay.
I know
gotcha.
He's only fought once so
just
far
checking.
This year. But at the current moment, that is the leader. Along with sub of the year leader.
Is that right?
That is right.
Is it also performance of the year leader?
At the moment, I mean, next week it probably all changes.
Does he get the judgy for best judge of the year, too?
Yeah, for leaving it out of the judge's hands.
They did have to judge 2 rounds of that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where this sits in terms of the year conversation. I would say it's definitely the one that jumps to mind as far as the best 5-round fight of the year. Could you go for that?
I don't know.
I can't think of a more of a barn burner than this one, just because it had a lot of drama to it, a lot of action. We've had some decent main events here and there too, of course. But we've also had some, you know, let's say lopsided, you know, like last week's for sure, was a little lopsided. I don't know. I lean to this so far. I think part of it is probably just because it was very surprising at how terrific it was against all odds. So, you know, there's certainly a certain level of bias for that. I mean, Brandon Moreno versus Brennan Royval, that rematch, that was solid as well. You know, I can at least get behind that a little bit.
I'm looking for some other ones.
I feel like this is the five round leader here. I mean, Strickland and Duplessis was, I guess, I don't know. I don't put it in the same.
People are saying Costa and Whitaker.
Costa and Whitaker.
Yeah.
The three rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was a good fight too.
I don't remember it.
I don't distinctly remember
it. To be honest, I don't even remember who won.
Whitaker.
Whitaker won. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's why he's fighting Hamzat.
That would be why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do so many, I just forget. It's like it all mushes into one thing.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I envy the people that can just recall things.
Like, there, I can sometimes do that in the right frame of mind.
Actually, you know what? When I was like, when we didn't do this, I was so much better at it.
But I feel like now you keep track of more fights. You didn't. There were probably some you just missed.
Maybe.
I feel like that's probably a lot you
yeah. Because now I'm watching it every single week, no matter
yeah.
how attractive the card is or not.
Mm. And I feel like now, because of our show, yes, we do that. I think if there was to come a time where this show was no longer a part of our rotation, maybe there might be some weeks you and I could dip out.
Oh, 100%, I'm dipping out. I don't call me a casual, call me whatever. If you ain't even trying to get my interest in watching it,
I like it.
Whatever. I don't like some of these Apex, you know, warehouse poop cards. I got no interest in it.
I want to make we need to make a even if we don't have this anymore. I want to create a danometer. We're gonna rate. Maybe we should do that. We should start doing that now. Let's rate this on the danometer. It's just a pass fail thing.
All right.
Is it pass as far as would
main
you
event
watch
pass?
It
main event pass. Yeah.
All right. How about
main? You know what? I was let's okay
main
with
event
the main event
of and main one. Card.
Main card.
Well, no. We're not rating. I'm rating. You got to rate ahead of time.
Oh, ahead of time.
Yeah. No. You don't
for
get
what's
to do
coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Pass.
Of whether you'd be watching or not.
Watching.
That's what we're gonna do for when we get to those looking ahead to the next.
Gotcha.
Event. Yeah.
All right.
We're not doing that now. We're not talking about next week. We're talking about we got stuff to talk about.
All right.
We'll get there. I know. But as far as PFL goes, because there was also PFL a couple days before Thursday PFL.
Mm-hmm.
About time we got it on Thursday.
I like
Thursdays. I talked to an official who expressed their displeasure with Thursdays. And I can understand why. It's, you know, kind of have to. There's a lot of reasons that you can go into. But suffice it to say, I can see the difficulties being an official taking a midweek assignment, right?
Well, hey, if they paid them enough, it wouldn't matter.
There's also that.
So.
But that's not going to happen because they don't pay anybody enough except Dana White.
Mm.
He's paid enough, although he probably doesn't think so either. But anyway, after PFL. I don't know how much. Did you actually get to watch a ton of this? Because I know you were doing some other stuff that night.
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch this? Okay. So, the question.
I watched a couple finishes.
The question I would have asked, and I'll just ask of you to ask of me so that I can answer it. Is,
well, I have answers for it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Fair enough. Let's ask it away anyway. Yeah. Who should be the favorite at heavyweight and at women's flyweight in PFL after PFL 1?
The guy who beat Ante D'Elia. His last name starts with M. I'm forgetting
Valentin Moldavsky.
Moldavsky.
Former yes. Bellator champion.
He'll be. And then Dakota DeChiva is the
DeChiva, yeah.
And actually, Taylor Santos. I'm torn between the two of them.
Tyler.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm still going to stick with Liz Carmouche.
All right.
Even though she's 40, I just feel like she's one of those fighters who just knows how to win.
Mm.
And she's gonna, as long as her body holds up, like, she's kind of got a style that's made to get through this type of season, I feel like.
All right.
So I'm still gonna lean with her, but your two mentions are certainly dangerous opponents in the mix as well. I would say for heavyweight, yeah, I do like Moldavsky a lot coming off of this. I think I had said Linton Vassell was kind of like my original pick or something like that. That was more like off the cuff, and I regret it thoroughly because he is not made for this season, not even a little bit. He wasn't even made for a 3-round fight. Good golly, that was not working. I don't know if you saw, but he gassed out.
No, but it is
round two, and he got finished in round three.
I do think it's impressive of me to remember the loser of the fight and not the winner.
What?
Oh, you're talking about Linton Vachel, a different fight. Never mind.
I am talking about a different fight.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see it. No, I thought you were talking about D'Elia.
No, that's a different guy. They're two different humans. They're large humans, though.
Yeah.
Gotta give them that. They're large. Yeah, Moldavsky seems like a pretty good bet. He's pretty darn good. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say about PFL, to be honest, or the latest Apex card, other than, well, we have some judging chatter to talk about. the unanimity report, which I've been working on saying correctly, and I almost messed up. PFL won in Texas. 17 out of 18 unanimous rounds, sir. Now, I'll be frank. A lot of these seem kind of like cut and dry. But I would say in particular, the Blagoje-Ivanov fight, that one was not the necessarily all rounds were clear cut and dry. I feel like probably could have still been, but nonetheless, we didn't go to and then leave Texas saying, what are we doing here, Texas?
Yeah.
At least we had that. And in the season format where, you know, victory matters in terms of the entire season, the fact that all the right people won on the cards, just be happy. But again, I think actually a decent job in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
And that's a 94.4% unanimity rate, by the way. Not bad. No 9-8 splits. It was just all just winners. Over in Vegas, UFC Vegas number 90. We're still 10 away from that, you know, milestone event that you want to build up and I want to tear down. 20 out of 29 unanimous rounds. A lot of rounds, whole bunch of rounds, 69%. You know, it's not as ideal, but it's honestly, it's still pretty solid, realistically.
Mm.
And again, no 98 splits.
So I'm going to add this into my post-ranking system.
Oh.
If there's no 9-8 splits and no 10-7 watch, annoyed at the fighters.
No one was able to push it to the, to the degree, yeah?
Yeah.
I get you. Well, listen, I mean, you know, we talk about the heavyweights all the time, right? And how it should be a round one, a one-round fight. I don't remember if I had actually been saying this on our show, but there should be a pathway to win on the cards in a one-round fight. And that is only if you get a majority of 10-8s.
Listen, I like...
Because if you're not... That way, it still rewards pushing for the win and not just neutralizing, right? That's why I like it. If you don't get at least 2-8s, though, it's a draw.
Mm.
That's what it should be. I'm fixing heavyweight MMA, sir.
You are.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't see any problem with it.
I got
it
no
is,
issue.
It is a perfect... It's just the cure-all. So one day someone will listen to me. I don't know who, but they will. But yeah, we gotta get to these rounds here, sir. Let's start with UFC, because there were so many, and I mean, more people watched it, let's face it. We just have the one dinky round to talk about from PFL. We'll get to that at the end. Over in Vegas, we got a lead, I think, with the main event, just because it was a split decision main event, and that's, you know, it's kind of hard to ignore those, right? Brendan Allen getting the win over Chris Curtis in their rematch. Split decision, all different scores, 49-46 and 48-47 for Allen. And then there was a 48-47 going the other way for Curtis. We had two split rounds here, rounds 3 and 4. Let's start with 3, man. What's happening?
I thought it was a really, really close round. On the feet, they're both landing quite a bit on each other. Curtis does land that one left hand that wobbles Allen. Which actually begins a sequence of Allen grappling that ends with Allen on the back while they're standing. But Allen kind of just holds the position. He doesn't really, you know, do much. Never really comes close to even attacking a sub. Not enough to take back the round from Curtis. I think Curtis had the most effective offense.
Yeah, I did too. I scored it the same way. And thus I had him up 29-28 at this point because the rounds were split going in. It was an Allen round, then a Curtis round. I felt good about Curtis here, but this is a very close fight. This is especially like this middle period of the fight. It really was, I thought, competitive from both sides. But yeah, I mean, Curtis obviously got off to not as good a start, but started to really find his groove in these middle rounds here. But so we're united alongside judges Mike Bell and Derek Cleary. Eric Colon had this round for Allen. Nuts or not nuts?
Not nuts.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Ham, right? Not pork roll, because that would be nuts.
Mm.
Just making sure. Round 4, again, this one's also split, sir. What's happening in this one?
Yeah, at the start, Curtis stings Allen good. And throughout the round, I think Curtis has the edge in the striking advantage here. But Allen does get the back a few times in this round. And at the end of the round, he gets the back, moves to mount. He's winning all the transitions, getting to dominant positions. He's not doing anything with them. I think it makes it really close, but I still favor Curtis's offense in this round, 10-9.
You know, I think I can kind of remember where my mindset was at when I initially watched this fight, right? And I think I was probably underselling in my own head what Curtis had done earlier in the round.
Mm.
And I think I probably, as a result, was giving a little bit too much credence to what Alan had been doing later in the round with the grappling. I think it's still perfectly acceptable to give this one to Alan. So I'm going to stand by my score.
I think Alan postures up and lands like three or four solid strikes. It's unanimous. We're not even talking about this round.
Sure.
But he didn't do that. So that's...
No, I get it. That's
why it gets a little hairy.
It's tricky, though, because he does get to those good positions, yeah, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like, man, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, mm-hmm, is it that it's not that immediately impactful, right? But
there's also, there's no advancement beyond that,
yeah,
until you start, you know, throwing actual offense.
It's
so
true. And that's why
how far can you go?
And that's why I still feel have just a hint of buyer's remorse.
Mm.
Having thought about it.
I mean, I
put the score.
I think Alan's scores is way fine.
I put the score out there that I believed in the time. I don't want to walk it back. I don't need to. I didn't feel distinctly like, yo, I messed that one up. Because I do think it's still a defensible score.
I think it's fine.
The fact that Judge Mike Bell gave it to Curtis, just like you did, I think that speaks volumes for the capacity to score it that way. That I score the same way as the 2023 Scott's judge of the year, Derek Cleary, and Judge Eric Colon, despite how he may call New Jersey's favorite breakfast meat.
Mm.
It's I think I can live with my Allen score is what I'm really building up to, while also trying to make a dig at anybody who calls a pork roll. That's about it. So I've always got two goals. But yeah, that is it. This is a heartbreaking fight too, right? Because that fifth round, which all judges gave to Alan, I was ready to give that one to Curtis until at the end he gets, it looked like he got hurt by the flying knee kind of thing, right? At the end.
Yeah.
And it certainly touched him, but you almost wonder, it's like, gee, if he doesn't blow out his hamstring, right? That's what
he hurt his hand. I don't know. Bisping was calling it a torn hamstring. I don't know
No. He's a doctor. He can diagnose that just by looking at it for a second.
I mean, to be honest, the way he had to be stretchered out, and he said he heard something pop, I would tend to believe.
There's a good chance of it, but
just hope we don't get a picture of it like we got when Chuck Liddell tore his, and it was just purple, his entire leg.
Yeah, my father-in-law had something with his hamstring that was like, let's say a smaller degree of that one time, and he was showing me. I'm like, yeah, that's not good, Tom. Mm. You should get yourself into physical therapy. I don't think he did that. He just kind of let it heal. But he still runs marathons, so he's good.
Okay.
The bottom line is doctors don't know anything.
Doctors don't know.
Why? Who needs a doctor when you have Michael Bisping?
It's true.
Yeah. But yeah, that was tough because it's like, geez, Curtis was going to win that fight otherwise.
And I think they mentioned our friend Spencer on the broadcast. They said that he told Spencer Kite he's got to squeeze 3 years into 10 years, 10 years into 3 years.
Yeah, I've heard of Spencer Kite. He's a writer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, tearing your hamstring, it's going to be tough to get those 10 years. I mean, definitely set him back.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you said Spencer is his name?
Yeah.
The Spencer character hopefully gets a chance to speak with him again and produce potentially some solid work for UFC.com.
I'm sure he will.
Mm-hmm. Should look into this guy. That's it for that fight. We got to move on, though, to the one that I think had more people up in arms. And that is Chepe Mariscal.
Okay.
Getting the win over Morgan Charrier, right?
I don't know how to say it.
I wasn't paying close enough attention to the pronunciation on the broadcast. So
yeah, auto-corrected it to Cherries.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't notice that kind of thing. So while Dominic Cruz and I don't know how to pronounce this name correctly, we're going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Just note the fact that Mariscal got two scores of 29-28 in this fight, whereas Charrier, which is what we're going to call him for now, 30-27.
All right.
Always fascinating when you get those diametrically opposed scores. So let's get into round one first.
I actually thought it was a wild round, and I thought it was quite close.
Mm-hmm.
Charrier had some good success with the guillotine attack, but he eats two or three weird elbows while he's just holding on to a front headlock. There was a lot of Mariscal just pushing him against the fence where, you know, Charrier is throwing some knees. But he does have some good flurries mixed in there, which got decent reactions from Charrier. I thought it was very close. Both had good offense, but I scored it for Mariscal.
Yeah, I had it for Mariscal too. You know, he kind of was able to make it ugly, right? And that helped. That helped make the fight go his way against somebody who's maybe a little more technically inclined.
Yeah.
I think it's easy. It's easy to go either way in this one. It just is. Like, it depends on where you are and relative to the action that's happening. And
that's
and
yeah. That's
there's not thing. Like a crazy amount of strikes that really are landing in this round either. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the there was the attempt at which kind of choke was it on the ground again?
What was kind of
what was the choke he was trying to go for at the on the ground?
Oh, I don't even know what that.
He didn't get anywhere close with it. It was like it's not like you're supposed to give that a whole. I don't think you give that a whole lot of weight.
I didn't. The guillotine attack originally, I thought was probably a better chance.
Sure. But then he's kind of trying to fish for something else.
He just held front headlock, and I think he just tried to the rear naked choke grip, whatever he was trying to do, ninja choke maybe. I don't remember if there was even an arm in that it would be a darse or an anaconda. I'm not sure.
I thought there. I could swear that there was. I actually didn't make a note of this, but I could have swore he was like. It looked like there was some sort of arm in, and I can't. I always get mixed up if it's a darse or an anaconda. And he not. It doesn't matter because he didn't really get anything. You know, I only bring it up just because there was, in fact, another incident of some other form of offense that in a fight that everybody is watching and getting all up in arms about, like. Maybe they're watching that and they're saying, yo, what about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it, but as far as being a useful part of effective offense. So that helped make it a lot easier for me to go Mariscal than it did Charrier. But you can go the other way. That's fine. No problem. So we agreed in the majority with judges Mike Bell and Eric Colon. It was Adelaide Bird who saw this one for Charrier. Skipping past round two all the way to round three, what do we have here?
I thought Mariscal had good success on the feet. I thought Charrier had good success on the ground until that final minute where Mariscal gets on top and he lands some ground and pound. And that's what wins it for me, Mariscal, 10-9.
I didn't quite go all the way over to the other side at that point is basically where I differ from you. I still had it for Charrier.
Okay.
It's really all my point of contention comes down to. So I had it split from you. I gave it 29-28, the fight, to Charrier.
All right.
And so did Adelaide Bird.
All right.
Whereas you saw it the same way as judges Mike Bell and Eric Colon, 29-28 for Mariscal. Lot of hand-wringing about this one. The majority score from media, for whatever it was worth. I mean, those media guys know nothing, says the guy who reports for the Post. It was a majority Charrier. Doesn't mean anything necessarily in and of itself, but it just felt like this was the one where everyone kind of lost their mind just a little bit. But maybe it's to a lesser degree than it used to be because now nobody cares about these cards anymore. That's my theory.
Like I mentioned last week, this card had nothing that was advancing anything. The only sad part about this is that they still operate under a pay win, or a win show.
Win show format, yeah.
That's the only thing. They shouldn't be. And they probably could have got rid of it, but, they punted on the goal line. What do you want?
I know. The lawsuit burns you up because that would have been not this week, but next week.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing I want to point out before we move on from this fight is the fact that if there are people out there who feel very strongly that Charrier should have gotten the win, just know Adelaide Bird agrees with you. You need to accept that.
Which is fine.
I think it's fine, but you may not, because you, listener, may have some complications with Ms. Bird's past judging, or maybe you just disagree with the way she judges things in general. We don't necessarily. There's certainly rounds and things like that where we've disagreed, but I still think she's a reasonable judge. And a lot of people don't. So, hey, you just have to kind of pair that. If you think the right score was Charrier, she got it right. So you agree with her. Maybe cut a break. Maybe next time you just be like, yo, sometimes she gets it right and no one else does. In your own mind, that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the only point I wanted to make with that one. Let's move on to, again, another split decision, by the way. It was just split to end the night. Damon Jackson, we're skipping around a bit, of course. Damon Jackson getting the win over Alexander Hernandez. Same scores as the other fight, 229-28 for the winner. Jackson, a 30-27 going the other way for Hernandez. Round one and two this time, though. So let's start with one.
Yeah, Jackson landed good leg kicks. Hernandez had some, good kicks to the body, a couple to the legs, some decent punches. I think Jackson landed decent knees along the fence, better than Storley knees. So I like it for Jackson. 10-9.
There's always a bar for Storley knees as well, as Dan coughs up, not a long time, probably some form of minor organ.
That set off every nerve.
Is that right?
Over here.
Good job.
I'm on fire right now.
I'll have some water. Put that out. I also had this one for Jackson. I don't have a ton to add, but yeah, I had it for Jackson. So did judges Derek Cleary and Janitra Camijo. Brian Miner was the out judge in this one and gave it to Hernan. Round two.
I thought this was really close on the feet. I think Hernandez was probably ahead on the feet, but then Jackson gets his back. He attacks the neck, and he's starting to land some good punches as the round ends. Jackson pulls ahead for me, 10-9.
Same. I guess I have a hard time feeling that bad anyway for Hernandez. He's every time he has a chance to kind of like ingratiate himself to fans and everybody like that, he like misses weight or he, you know, throws out a bunch of slurs or does whatever. It's like it's always something with this guy.
Yeah, I know nothing about him really. Nope. Outside of the fighting.
Do you remember when he
I remember something he had with Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna bring up. Well, yeah, he did whiff on the scale. He first weighed in at 150 for 045, and then he was able to get down to 147.5, which is a remarkable amount to drop in that time.
Well, he still lost money, so.
He still lost money. And the fight, which also cost him other money. Anywho, that is it for that fight. We don't have any more split decisions. We've gotten through all of them. But we do have a unanimous decision with two rounds split off. Victor Hugo getting the win over Pedro Falcao. I've been trying to say this name right for like years.
Falcao.
Do you remember Michael Falcao?
I remember Shane Falco.
No, different people.
Yeah, I remember him. I think he got stabbed.
Yeah, it was something like that, right?
Michael.
Yeah, it was spelled M-A-I-Q-U-E-O. Yeah. But I think he was Michael.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
He was kind of like that. He was kind of guy that every single strike he threw was to kill you.
Yeah.
That was the type of fighter he was. I
want to say he was 1-0 in the UFC and then they cut him, which is very weird. Don't see that all that often except for weird circumstances. But anyway, we're not talking about him. We're talking about Pedro Falcao. Different human entirely. He also didn't win the fight and neither did Michael Falcao. Victor Hugo did. Scores again, 29-28 from two judges and a 30-27. Not the other way. This one for him. But rounds one and two are split with him in the majority each time. So let's talk about round one.
It was Falcao for a while. He got the back of Hugo right away. He landed a couple strikes. Hugo is able to, I guess, almost get on top. But then they're reversed where Hugo's in the guard now somehow. And he attacks a go-go, which I'm sure you went insane for.
I sure did. In fact, he wins this round 30-24. This round.
Just this. He gets the the one leg secure, but he can't get the other one over it. And it's in the final 30 seconds. He seems to really find his offense. He lands a head kick. You know, hit it on the gloves, but I mean, it definitely moved Falcao around there. I think there's still some impact there. He landed a bunch of punches. Hugo steals it, 10-9.
So before I even get my score in, I would like to point out that you were right. Michael Falcao was in fact stabbed. He died.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that killed him.
Well, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He died 2 years ago. I do actually remember the news that he did die. I didn't distinctly remember it in that moment, obviously. But yeah, what a terrible way to go. And he did, in fact, going back to his UFC career, win his fight over Gerald Harris. And that was the end.
Mm.
He did fight for Bellator at some point. 3-1 in Bellator.
Okay.
Really well in those major promotions. I don't have much more to add other than, yes, it was. I said it was 30-24 in that round for Hugo. Anytime you attempt a go-go plata, it's an auto win. I think he had enough here. I think he did enough to get that round, for sure, at least in my opinion. But, you know, it could go either way, another one like that. I also am very excited by Victor Hugo now that I know that apparently a go-go plata is one of his specialties.
I did hear
it. They did say that.
But we also heard he has Dustin attention. Poirier's specialty. He's a guillotine.
That's also true. But he goes for them all the time.
Okay.
Either way, right?
That's true.
Win, lose, or draw.
At least try.
He's going for the guillotine.
At least try. All right.
So if Victor Hugo's just going for that go-go, I'm still in. He's going to string me along. He's not going to get it, but he's going to string me along. And I'm good with that.
Okay.
So I agreed with you. I had the majority score like you for Hugo. With Judges Adelaide Bird and Judge Crippler, Chris Lieben. Falco got the round from Judge Brian Miner. Let's go to round two.
Hugo wins the round with his striking. Falcao pushed him against the fence for a lot of the fight, but at distance, Hugo is the one landing the effective offense. 10-9 Hugo for me.
Yeah, that's fine with me too. I don't have a lot to add. I'm honestly a little bit more excited to talk about 300 in this event. I'm kind of looking ahead.
Well, it's just a speed of thrown in.
I could do that. More or less doing that, right? Nora Cornell got the win over Melissa Mullins, who are two women that I did not remember having watched in the UFC, but definitely have, apparently, before this fight. But she gets the win. Round two, TKO. Good finish. Decent finish. Round one, we are split, though. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Mullins had a decent sequence where she smashes Cornell in the face and gets a takedown. Like, she punches her, clinch, whatever, takedown.
Yes,
gets reversed, ate a few punches after being reversed. I do think Cornell landed the better strikes throughout the round. Thought she was a more effective fighter. It's her for me.
Yes.
10-9 Cornell.
Yes, I agree. We agreed with Eric Colon and Judge Crippler. We disagreed with Judge Junichiro Kamijuki. This one to us. And then one more round to go. This one over in the PFL. In one of the... What? What are you laughing about?
I just realized what my notes corrected pop off to. I'm not going to say it, but I'll show you after.
Does it have to do with fecal matter?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I think we covered it. When I type in my own name, by the way, if I swipe to type in on my phone and I do it too quickly, instead of Scott, I get a word that also means fecal matter, and it doesn't make me feel good about myself. It's not very nice. My phone is a jerk. For the PFL fight, the only fight that we have a split round in San Antonio, Texas. Right, San Antonio? San Antonio. Oleg Popov getting the win over Steve Mowry at the heavyweights. Round two, TKO. Round one is split. What happened?
I thought a lot of the round was spent on the ground. Popov would be in the guard of Mowry, and he'd be throwing a couple strikes here and there. But other than that, Mowry's on his back, body triangle locked in, attacking the neck, having some decent attacks at the rear naked. I don't think Popov did enough to win this round. So I think it's Mowry.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, he had that little bit of very brief success at the end too.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it teased hey, maybe you could give it to him. I didn't think that he could.
Yeah.
I still gave this one to Mowry and I feel pretty good about it. Do you think it's a bad score the other way or just it's all right?
No, it's fine. Were so close to a perfect card, though, Texas. I mean, if you threw that in my face.
I've been
asking for however long we've been doing the show.
That's true.
Just give me a perfect card.
And imagine if it was Texas of all places. You'd have to start touting Texas.
I would.
You'd wear a cowboy hat.
I would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like Impik Zonganai.
Yeehaw.
The Congolese cowboy. I think that's the nickname he goes by.
I like it.
It's not his main nickname, but he accepts that as a moniker.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like Robert Whittaker accepting Bobby Knuckles, even though he prefers the Reaper.
But I don't think he actually does accept Bobby Knuckles, does he?
Does he actually push back on it? I hope he pushes back on it.
I think he gets into violent arguments with everyone who ever used it. No, that's not true. I think we covered it. The judges, by the way, we saw it the same way as Judge Joel Ojeda, somebody who I believe we've called out before in past visits from the UFC, but at least in this case, we agreed with him, and really throughout the card as well when he was working, and John Shorley as well. We went the opposite way of Gino Garcia. The three of them and Ryan Thompson were the four judges working this one. So, you know, let's shout out on the whole that four-man team. They did a solid job.
You
represented Texas well, I think.
Nice work.
For this time. Let's stay on your toes, though. Stay sharp. That's what we need. That was it for the rounds, at least. Had a bunch of finishes, especially at PFL. 7-0 over there. 5 by TKO or KO. 2 by submission. And 5 of them ended in the first round. Oftentimes, the heavyweights were getting the job done. Not always. However, it is worth pointing out that Blagoy-Ivanov fight, As much as we don't love heavyweights going the distance, and as much as this was a sloppy fight where after round two, both of them had their hands on their knees, creating the most hilarious of visuals, yeah. It's a good fight.
However, all coaches from years past should know hands on the knees have been scientifically proven to be the best recovery posture.
Is that right?
Yes. It's no longer, you know, hands up, you know, lengthen them. Apparently, your lungs can take in more air in that position.
Oh. Is that why our body naturally reacts that way?
So Bear Bryant and all those hardcore coaches, water makes you weak type guys, science said suck it.
Listen, I'm reading a book about Bo Jackson right now, very slowly. I'm making my way through much more slowly than I would like to. But having said that, he did not recruit Bo Jackson to the school. He himself didn't. Someone else tried to. He ended up at Auburn. And, they spend a bit of the book talking about how he was drunk at the end of his career and kind of didn't do much. So yeah, maybe the drunk guy wasn't, like, the most knowledgeable.
He got Forrest Gump.
He did. He got lucky with that one. Because he was already going to the school. That wasn't fair. He didn't do anything to that. He was just like, yo, this guy ran into my field of view, so I guess I'll put him on the team. By the way, I keep saying... The Blagojevanov fight, it was won by Sergey Bilistany. Should point out the winner of that fight, too, because he had equal parts of that. But that was a good fight. That's an example of a rare three-round heavyweight fight where you're like, yo, that was a good time. And even more rare when they actually got tired after 10 minutes, and still it was a good fight.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
It's a unicorn. It was a unicorn. Okay. You should watch it. I would actually watch it.
I'll think about it.
Well, it would help if they made them individual, right? They don't do that still on ESPN.
I would have watched it if I didn't have to work Thursday.
No, I know you were dealing cocaine.
Yeah,
which is, you know, what the kids are calling poker these days.
Yes.
Just playing a game of cocaine. Family-friendly show here. Mm. UFC, by the way, had four finishes, three of them by KO or TKO, one by submission. And only one fight into the first round. That's why we had 29 freaking rounds scored. Good golly. Out of all those 11 finishes, what was your favorite?
I almost, I was thinking about taking Tyler Santos.
Okay.
But then I realized it's like...
Honorable mention for her.
Joanne was just like, here, take my neck, please.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. She's like, here's my neck. And she's like, oh, okay, choke.
Yeah, but you still got to see the choke.
Yeah, that's true. But I went with... Gian Matsumoto guillotining Dan Argueta after Argueta was looking pretty good.
Sure.
So, there we go.
All righty. Still got your sub.
Yes. What about you?
The one sub at UFC, yeah. I went with Ignacio Bahamondes.
Love him.
Just took off the head of Christos Yagos. Nice head kick.
Yes.
Just like totally like stuttered on his way down, and that was it.
So I was, when I saw what your finish was before I got to watch it.
Okay.
I was trying to think what could possibly be a decapitating strike.
Oh.
So I was trying to figure out. I was like, elbows? No, it wouldn't be an elbow. And I was like, I don't think it's going to be a punch, but it could be an uppercut.
Imagine an uppercut? Yeah,
If it's going to be a punch, it's going to be an uppercut. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be just a devastating head kick. And I think that we're going to end it on the head kick.
I think it was a good head kick. So, yeah. That was a good head kick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm always good for a head kick knockout. I think who isn't, right?
Exactly.
Normal, well-adjusted people. That's the answer. Just no one listening to this show. You bunch of crazies.
Yeah.
That's us too. It's okay. We're all family.
I haven't seen Crow Cop getting head kicked by Gonzaga in a while. Probably go watch that one.
Hey, you know what we were going to do a while back and we just completely abandoned?
Yeah, I know.
We were going to go watch those old UFCs and talk about them. I mean, my life got hyper busy not long after that. So we should get back to that.
Right,
we should try to do that this week.
Try it again.
Yeah. Or maybe another this week because we got UFC 300. Let's wait until after 300.
Busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll do it for that one. I like this. This is a good plan. Before we actually talk about UFC 300, cause we can close out on that. We could talk about it all day. PFL 2 also takes place the day before. Also in Nevada, in Las Vegas. Daring to take up a little bit of the oxygen while they're there. Probably get a little coverage because reporters are already there. Smart in that respect. 9 p.m. Eastern time, main card for the second PFL event of this season. We've got the 205-pounders. We got the 155-pounders. Realistically, I would have put this as the lead event of the PFL season rather than the heavyweights and women's flyweights because it had much less name value then than it does now.
Mm.
Where, you know, 205, you got guys like Impak Sanganai won last year, Antonio Carlos Jr. won 2 years ago. Those are the kind of the highlights for them. Sadabu C is up two weight classes to from welterweight to here, former champion as well. And then over at 155, you got Clay Collard against Patricky Pitbull. That's a fun fight. That's a really fun fight.
I love that one.
I love that one. Brent Primus is on this war. Gachi Rabatinov. Not that he has incredible name value, but this is the event that they should have put as their best foot forward, I think, last week. You know, I don't know if you saw. I don't think you're on social media as much as you used to be, right? But our guy Aaron Bronstetter put out a message on Friday kind of calling out a lot of media colleagues for basically ignoring PFL. I didn't get the chance to write about it because I'm bogged down with other stuff. I would have liked to have, but it didn't happen in this case. But I can't speak for all of the media, but I can see some reasons why it wasn't done. One of which I think is a self-inflicted wound from PFL where they really just should have put their best event first. That's all I really want to make sure I added. All
right.
Yeah. Does anybody stand out on the 205, either a fight from this weekend or somebody that you think is going to be, you know, maybe someone to watch to win the 205 pounds?
Yeah, this guy with the name that I have no idea how to say.
Dovlechen Yakshimuradov?
Yep.
Okay. I thought you might.
He was supposed to fight, right, against Yoel Romero in the Grand Prix?
He was in the Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
He lost. I don't remember who he was supposed to fight, but he did lose in the Grand Prix.
Either him or Impa is, because Impa took a round from the Bellator middleweight champ.
Johnny Eblen,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I should know that name because he is probably the best heavyweight. Middleweight.
Yeah, he's a middleweight.
Yeah, probably the best middleweight.
It's getting late.
In the sport, so.
You think so?
He's very good.
He is very good. I think Impa is very good. I really do. Because what we've seen from him, you have to remember he's not even really been doing the sport very long, either training or fighting. So he's getting by in a lot of what he's picking up very quickly and natural abilities as well as an athlete, former college football player. I'm curious to see how he develops from here. I really think he's got more to show than we've seen. So yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think him against Alex Polizzi this weekend, this Friday, I think it's a decent fight. I like that one. I'm morbidly curious what Sadabusi is going to be doing at 205 pounds. Because you hear a lot of people talk about him as like as an impressive striker. You hear about this from like UFC people and stuff. Like he's actually really like a very talented striker. So that type of thing, as long as he's not going to just get taken down and outsized or something like that, up 35 pounds from where he was competing at. Curious to see what that looks like. And then, of course, at 155, I think I'm going to pick Rabatinov as my favorite to win this one. I think maybe it's a sleeper pick a little bit. It'd be nice to see someone like Clay Collard break through because he is fun to watch, but he's not quite gotten through there yet. I don't know. We'll see.
Going with a Pitbull.
You going with Patricky Pitbull? So basically you're saying like the winner of that fight probably goes on and wins.
Yeah, maybe Mads Burnell. Sleeper pick, maybe. Mm-hmm.
He's coming up from featherweight. This is probably easier for him to make four times a year. Same thing as Shane Burgos. Burgos is not part of this season, by the way.
Why?
I was talking to him the other day. He opted not to participate. I said it took a toll on him and the family last year, and he said he wants to focus on not the season format. Wait,
He should have. He should have been like, listen, the reason I'm not doing it is because I'm protesting because it was baloney how I got into the playoffs. Even though it produced one of the greatest fights in a while.
It is definitely the greatest fight in PFL history. Yeah. Like not even very close. It really
was. Yeah, it was a really good fight.
It's a really good fight. And the PFL have not had a fight like that yet. This was their fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good fight.
It was their Griffin Bonner. It didn't have the same end result.
Yeah, it's hard to put it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it was a more tactical fight. I think there was better skill involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sport is evolved. But at any rate.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's not part of this. I imagine we'll be seeing him at some point this year, but I don't know. Hadn't heard that far down. But well, I guess that's it. That's pretty much it for the weekend, right?
That's it, yeah.
PFL, and then we'll talk about that for Monday's show, right? You want to hit the music? Oh, nope. UFC 300, man. We're finally here. A lot of hand-wringing about the quality of the card over time. If you don't like the main event, I guess I get it because it's not like a next level kind of thing. It doesn't transcend, but it's certainly a good fight, good championship fight, a healthy championship fight that makes a lot of sense in Alex Pereira against Jamahal Hill for the 205 pound title. And realistically, I think this closes the every loop in the post John Jones 205-pound world, the winner of this fight, legitimately, you just kind of accept as absolutely they are 205-pound champion. They've kind of unified all these weird strands that have come off of everything. And we just can say, okay, there's one guy to go after. There's always been one guy because they got unified. Let's go for that. I do like the fight.
It's a good fight.
It's a really good
interesting fight.
And also, there's some other fights on the card that people like too, apparently.
But real quick.
Yeah. What do you got?
It's still their belt till John wants it back, if he ever wants it back.
I don't think he ever wants it back.
I'm just saying. If he doesn't want it back, that's fine. Then once he calls it quits for good.
It is my assumption he is not going to drop the weight and go down there again. You know, the only smaller guys he's looking to fight are the drug testers. Oh, that was a woman, I believe, actually.
I kind of believe John's story.
Who knows? That is one of three, technically three title fights on here. It's really just two for division championships, and then we've got the BMF belt on the line. I don't need any gold on the line to care about Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway. That's an amazing fight.
Really good fight. And they were saying, I guess Max actually had some decent time to bulk up or get to 155, more so than he did against Dustin.
A part of me hopes he just stays there, although I do like the idea of him fighting Ilia Topuria. But I think we've talked about this before. If he beats Justin Gaethje, why would he go down to 45? Just fight for the 55 title.
That would,
That's what you do. Why would I go down to 45 anymore? Yeah. The other title on the line, the actual title on the line, Zhang Weili putting her belt, 115 pounds, up for grabs against countrywoman Yan Xiaonan. I don't know why they don't put this fight on in China. Maybe there's cultural elements that I don't understand, but this would certainly seem to make sense. On in China.
But it's actually a really good fight.
It is a good fight.
For 300.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, put it there.
This has, being in Nevada, of course, they will have the Nevada judges. And, you know, there's a section of our little outline here where we put down other fights we want to fight. What did I list?
Everything.
Everything is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian, Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage, Yuri Prohaska, Alexander Rakic. Basically, from here down, that is the prelims. The early prelims, I should note, if you want to tune in for the first fight, and if you're ever going to turn in for the first fight, this would be the time to. 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Four hours of awesome prelims before the pay-per-view.
I'm so excited about a few of these.
Are you looking forward to Sadiq Youssef and Diego Lopez?
I think so.
Are you looking forward to Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison? Are you got to be curious.
I'm interested in watching it. I will not.
There will be a lot of intrigue the day before, too, as far as her weigh-in.
Yeah, like, I think Kayla might kill her. That's kind of where
I'm at. If she hits the weight.
Oh, there's question that she might not make it?
Well, I know this is her first time at 35.
Yeah. But
she used to fight at 55.
Right, yeah.
She went down to 45, but she says she's test-cutted and everything like that, but also Holly has maintained that if she doesn't hit the weight, she won't take the fight. There is some intrigue here because it doesn't mean we're going to get the fight.
The UFC will be so unhappy with Holly Holm if that happens. They'll be so unhappy with Kayla Harrison.
Well, they should be
if that happens.
But yeah.
But no, Kayla's a professional, should be on weight.
I certainly hope so. I hope she's not sucked out too, because this was something she was very against. And when we talked about it, she was kind of just like, yeah, I am against it still, but you know. It's kind of one of those do as I say, not as I do kind of things.
Money talks.
Oh, there's also that, right? Calvin Kattar against Aljamain Sterling.
I'm excited about this. Aljo's first fight up at 145.
And Kattar coming back after that injury, too. So nice to see him back as well. Jalen Turner, Renato Moicano. You love Money Moicano.
Money Moicano.
He's your guy.
He should be the CFFC commentator all the time. I went because I shadowed that event, so I went to... watch it afterwards,
sure.
Obviously. And he's just, he's tremendous.
He is fun.
So,
we got Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez. That's a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt opening things up.
Very excited.
That's really
that.
Great. Yeah. These are some great fights. I think we covered them all.
He didn't cover them all.
I didn't cover them
you
all.
You missed the main
Did
event.
Did I miss one?
The main event.
I missed the main event.
The main event.
What's the main event?
Jim Miller versus maybe Bobby Green.
Supposedly. It's supposed to be Bobby Green. They've been scheduled together 3 times. It hasn't happened either time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking, I spent a day with Jim Miller recently for a story that should be publishing this week as well. So, yes, obviously I knew he was fighting.
Mm.
But and I was looking at Bobby Green's list on, Tapology, where they track fights they pulled out of and stuff like that over years. And according to them, he has pulled out of 10 different fights or been removed from 10 different fights in 11 years for various reasons, personal and health and otherwise and all this stuff. Blows my mind. And it's always him in those cases. That is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully that does happen. I think Jim himself sounded pretty confident that he was going to get a fight anyway because everybody is in town and someone will fight him, whether it's a 45er coming up or a 55er who can make the weight or someone that he's going to fight at 174 and like, have an easier time.
So they probably have two backup fighters for the titles that are going to be weighing in. They should just have three, someone at 55 as the backup for Jim's fight.
But like what I'm saying is, dude, like someone is in town. Like everyone is going to be in town for this one. A lot of people anyway, a lot more than normal. So there's going to be a warm body around that's like, yeah, I'll fight Jim Miller. That's fine.
Yeah. Joe Lo's on.
Maybe Joe Lo's on finally, right? You know, I didn't get to put this into any of the stories that I was writing, any of the stuff I was working on with Jim. But I'll share this with you on the air. He was telling me that because he suffered an injury during the Nate Diaz fight.
Mm-hmm.
And this injury, it was to essentially like the ligament that attaches to his big toe from like his upper leg or something like that.
Okay.
Tore it during the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that basically prevents you from like walking correctly. And when he told when the doctors told him what happened, and this is a doctor who works for like the Giants and Jets.
Mm.
He's like, yeah, we usually see this in like old women who fall down the stairs. He's like, oh, gee, thanks, right? So he's walking around like on, you know, crutches or getting around on crutches or something like that, right? And he goes to somewhere in Virginia, like a base in Virginia, mm-hmm. or like a hospital in Virginia or something like that for some form of, you know, outreach or, mm-hmm. or charity or something like that thing, right? With veterans. And he's injured. So he's trying to get around the hospital. And they're like, maybe we could get you a wheelchair. He's like, I'm not going to get a wheelchair. Like, I'm here. Are you kidding me? Like, here? And he's hanging out with Joe Lozon. Happens mm-hmm. to be there as well. And essentially, he's just trying to, like, get himself up the stairs with these crutches. And instead of taking, like, an elevator or something mm-hmm. like that and taking up space that way. And Lozon's just kind of, like, hanging around with him. This is, by the way, about 4 months before they had that classic fight.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there's more to the story. I left out a lot because I don't remember the details off the top of my head, but I wanted to share that with you.
I like
because you brought up Joe Lozon.
Yes.
And hopefully there is a way that those guys fight again if Joe Lozon wants to fight again because that would be fun. But, you know, as long as Jim Miller fights this weekend to bring it back full circle, and I think it will happen, you'll be happy.
I hope Islam's in town. They got three title fights.
He might be. Yeah. Maybe he'll just step in on late notice to defend his title.
He should.
He probably won't.
He should, though. Against Jim Miller.
Do you have an idea of who you think is the contestant round candidate?
I do. I believe we're going to get an 8-7 debate in Miller and Green.
I went with Gaethje and Holloway because I could see a case of volume versus damage.
Mm-hmm.
Between high impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see some rounds coming around like that in this fight. Yeah. I think it'll be fascinating.
Could be very close.
We'll see how it goes, but
Oliveira Sarukian, I'll go with as a contestant. Right?
That makes sense. That makes sense. I think we're going to have some really good fights here. I bet you there's going to be some curveballs thrown our way this week. It just kind of always seems to happen, right?
Always.
But this will be a good event. And as much as everybody was complaining about, this isn't quite what it ought to be, I think this is a great event. I like the quality of it top to bottom. You want to wring your hands a little bit at Bo Nickel being on the main card over a bunch of these other fights? Okay, you and I can find some common ground, but that's about it.
I mean, the only reason that Bo Nickel shouldn't be on there is because Jim Miller is on the card.
Or because literally everybody else on here is really good.
But he is the future middleweight champ, so you gotta give the champ his due.
Wait, you're talking about Cody Brundage, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, just making sure.
All right, we'll be back again next Monday. We're going to break down UFC 300. May have something to talk about with PFL.
Possibly. I don't know. Yeah, you know, that's the real thing. Like, if we have enough contested rounds off of 300, almost definitely PFL is going to get pushed to the side. But we'll see. Unless there's something really important we just have to get to from that, right?
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody. Enjoy the fights.